Praise God, and good evening to everyone. We thank the Lord for you, and praise God for allowing us to be able to come together one more time, and that we're able to get together before the storm comes. But let's get into our study. And tonight, I'm going to be talking about, the topic tonight is differently good. Differently good. All right? And I'm going to start tonight, I'm going to start out by reading from the 12th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 4, and I'm going to read down to verse 8. I'm reading from the King James Version. Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 4 through verse 8. All right? And the word reads, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that sheweth mercy, with cheerfulness." Amen. Praise God. That was Romans 12, 4 through 8. Now, we're looking at how spiritual gifts affects the health and the productivity of the body of Christ. All right? Looking at how spiritual gifts affects the health and the productivity of the body of Christ. Now, Paul's using the physical or the human body as an analogy of the spiritual body of Christ or the church, right? The church is the body of Christ. In verses 4 and 5, Paul says that just as our human body has many, and we learned over 7,500 different parts, okay, many parts or many members that function differently, it's the same way with the body of Christ. Amen. Now, it's clear from the text in Romans 12 that as the members of our human body, they don't have the same function or office as Paul calls it, right? Paul said, calls it an office. Our members, our physical members, don't have the same office. And so the members of the body of Christ who are distinctly unique, right? Every member of the body of Christ is distinctly unique in appearance. We don't all look alike. In size, we're not the same size. We're not the same shape. I'm not getting into details there. We don't have the same personalities, right? or right? And we are distinctively unique in other respects also, right? And so we are also distinctively unique in our functions. We don't all function the same. Every member of the body of Christ has a unique function. Praise God. Right? I mean, you know, it's amazing, right? It's amazing how God, the infinite knowledge of God, right, can have billions of people who are all uniquely different, right? It's by the divine will of God that every church member is different, right? Now, it's not the will of God. It's not God's will that we all look alike. Praise God. Right? It's not God's will that we all dress alike, right? No, it's not his plan that we all walk alike or talk or sing. It's not the plan of God that we all shout alike or pray alike or work alike, right? It's by divine design that we are all spiritually, uniquely different. God didn't give us all the same natural talents, right? we can't all play basketball like Michael Jordan, right? Praise God. Right? We can't play golf like Tiger Woods. We don't have that natural golf ability. We can't all cook like Gordon Ramsay. Oh, I wish some of us could. We can't all sing like Mahalia Jackson. And God doesn't give us all the same spiritual gifts. All right? Look at Romans 12. I'm going to read 6 through 8 again. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Praise God. Huh? Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, verse 6 says that we all have gifts that are different according to God's grace. Right? And Paul goes on to identify some of those gifts. Right? He says some of the gifts are prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorter, giver, ruler or leader. And mercy. These are some of the gifts. Right? There are others, and as I said last week, we'll get into all of them when we do the small group study on discovering your spiritual gifts. Okay? But it's clear. It's clear that we don't all have the same spiritual gifts. If it's not clear to you from this passage, turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and let's look at verse 29 and 30. Let's look at what Paul says about the gifts there. 1 Corinthians 12 and 29, Paul asks the question. He asks a rhetorical question. He asks, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And we know that the answer to that is no. Right? Now, turn again to Ephesians 4 and 11. Ephesians 4 and 11. Okay? And let's hear what Paul says about the gifts. In Ephesians 4 and 11, Paul says, and he gave all? No. Everybody? No. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Not everyone received these gifts. Only some of the body of Christ, only some of the members of the body have been given the apostolic gift. Only some have been given the prophetic gift, right? The evangelism gift, the pastoral gift, or the teaching gift, right? If everybody had these gifts, we'd all be Billy Graham. If everybody had, right, the gift of evangelism, we all would be Louis Palau's. Right? If everybody had the preaching gift, the prophetic gift, we'd all be T.D. Jakes or John Eckert. But we're not. And Paul gives us a good word, right, on how we can tell if we have the gift. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. The word says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, we can say woman, every individual, to profit with all, to profit with. All right? But first, let's look at what is the manifestation of the Spirit? The word manifestation means to reveal, to make evident, or to bring to light something that was previously hidden. Right? That's the biblical definition of manifestation. To reveal, to make evident, or to bring to light something previously hidden. So when the Holy Spirit reveals or makes the presence of his power evident in or through us, it results, it's the result of a particular or a combination of spiritual gifts. I'm going to say that again. Right? When the Holy Spirit reveals or makes the presence of his power evident in or through us, it's the result of a particular gift or a combination of spiritual gifts. Praise God. Let me put it another way, right? Spiritual gifts reveal and makes the power of God evident through the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Spiritual gifts reveal and makes the power of God evident through the Holy Spirit. Whenever we see spiritual gifts in operation, we are seeing the power of God in operation. Okay? When somebody speaks in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit manifesting the power of God through that believer. Right? When someone, right, speaks a word of prophecy, it's the power of God manifested in that believer, all right, by the Holy Spirit. It's not the believer. We can't make it happen. We can't make healing happen. We can't, right, prophesy. We can't make prophecy happen. We can't make evangelism happen. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, right, and reveals his power, right, the power of God through us, yes, that is spiritual gifting. All right? It's not us. That's why we have nothing to boast or brag about. Right? It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit working through us, right? And one way for us to judge if we have a spiritual gift is by what Paul says in the latter portion of verse 7, the latter portion of 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. Paul says, the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Right? Now, look, I see that being connected to what God said in Isaiah 55 and 11. All right? In Isaiah 55 and 11, God said, so shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Right? Isaiah 55:11. Let me read it again. So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. Right? Listen, when God speaks a word, there is a specific purpose that, right, is sent out to be accomplished. We could go back and look in Genesis. We could go back and look, right, Genesis, the first chapter, right, God said. And when God said something, things happened. Every time God spoke something, something happens. And when God speaks, with every word that comes out of the mouth of God, something happens, right? It accomplishes its purpose, right? And listen, when a spiritual gift, going back to 1 Corinthians 12:7, when a spiritual gift is manifested, the Holy Spirit does not manifest a spiritual gift unless it is for the purpose of being spiritually profitable. Paul says, right, the gift is given to every man to be profitable, to profit with. Okay? We're not given spiritual gifts for them to be unprofitable. Right? No. Mm-mm. Look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and 22. Deuteronomy 18, 21 and 22. Look at what the Lord said. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken? Huh? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Right? Listen, there is evidence that backs up the word of God. And there is evidence that backs up spiritual gifts. We go around saying that we have the gift of whatever, whatever. But there is evidence that backs up that gift. The gifts are given to every believer to be spiritually profitable. Listen, if the gift you believe you have is not adding to or building up the body of Christ, there are two possible reasons. Two possible explanations for it. Right? Because every spiritual gift has been given for us to profit with, to be spiritually profitable. And so that means adding to the body of Christ or building up the body of Christ. And if that's not happening through your gift, then there's two things we need to look at. One, you might not really have that gift. Okay? If you think you have the gift of teaching, but every time you teach a class, folk are falling asleep, all right, or walk away confused instead of, right, having a better understanding, then, right, you haven't added to or built up that gift was not profitable, right? Now, I'm not saying that we, right, we knock it out of the park every time we swing. Right? But, right, generally, when the Holy Spirit reveals the power of God through us, through spiritual gifts, it is for the purpose of us being spiritually profitable. And so if that's not happening, if we're not adding to or building up, we may not have that gift. The second possibility is you might not be spiritually ready for that gift. Why do I say that? It's because of what Paul says in Romans 12, 7 and 8. Okay? Look at Romans 12, 7 and 8. In Romans 12, 7 and 8, Paul says, or ministry, let us, what? Wait on our ministering. Okay? Or he that teacheth, he continues, wait on your teaching. He that exhorteth, wait on exhortation. Wait for God to give you a word of encouragement. Right? So there are some who are not being spiritually profitable in the gift that they believe that they have, because they are not spiritually ready for that gift. Right? Gifts are given, according to verse 6, gifts are given according to God's grace and our faith. You see that? Right? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. We may not have enough grace or enough faith for the Holy Spirit to use us right now. Right? If you just got saved last week, right, don't expect, yes, you were given a spiritual gift, but Paul said, no, you got to wait on that. You got to wait on that. There's got to be some building up in you. There's got to be some building up in your faith. And when your faith becomes stronger, when you become stronger in the grace of God, in the things of God, then the Holy Spirit can use you. That gift can be manifested in you for you to be spiritually profitable. Right? Remember, see, for some of us, right, God won't give us, the gift won't be manifested in us, because if the Holy Spirit was manifested in somebody right now, then they would walk around saying, look what I did. They would walk around patting themselves on the back, right? Or start charging people, okay? God says, no, no, you're not ready yet. You need to be built up in your faith. Let me end with this thought. God has given different gifts to every believer for the purpose of adding to or building up the body of Christ, which is the church. All right? Listen, whatever church you are a member of, I'm talking local now, not universal, whatever church that you are a member of, God has given you a spiritual gift for the purpose of using it to add to that church or to build up that church. All right? In fact, you have to add to. We've been gifted for the purpose of adding to each other, building up each other, right? Every member of the body functions for the purpose of supporting the other members, its other members. And listen, only when every member functions in their gifts can the church be a healthy and productive body. Okay? The church has been unhealthy because we've got sick members. We've got sick parts. We've got parts of the body that don't know what they are, where they're supposed to be, or what they're supposed to be doing. And so, right, if there was a member of your human body, your physical body, that had that same measure of confusion, right, you'd be on medication or in the hospital somewhere, all right? If I was in church, I'd tell you to look at your neighbor and tell him, we need you. Amen. We need every member functioning properly in order for us to be built up to accomplish the work of God. Let's pray. Most Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name and thank you, O God, for your word to us. God, thank you for revelation. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for mercy. I thank you that you are a patient and a long-suffering God. That, Lord, you have allowed us to struggle alone. You have allowed us, oh God, to make mistake after mistake, wander around in the wilderness. But God, thank you that you did not deal with us as we deserve. I thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for the gifts that you have given to us. I thank you, Lord, that you have called us now, that this is the appointed time. That God, you have called us to recognize who we are. Oh, God, Lord, what it is that you have called us to do and who you have called us to be. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we are not alone. I thank you that we are not powerless. I thank you that we have the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that we have the manifestation of your Holy Spirit to use us for your glory. Father, forgive us of our ignorance. Forgive us of our negligence. Forgive us, O God, of our procrastination. Forgive us, Lord, for being distracted. But, Father, I ask you to help us. Oh, God, help us to grow up in you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, rise up in us and use us to your glory. I pray, go before us with miracles, signs, and wonders, that eyes and ears of those who are in darkness will be opened, and that somebody would cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" Father, thank you. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen.